Someone said, "You're welcome." Most of you didn't even hear me say thank you. Thank you for all the expressions of support and your kindnesses. They mean a great deal to us. We moved out here, I guess, about 15 months ago, not really knowing totally what to expect, but I made a statement a few weeks ago, and I meant it, although it amazed me when I said it. Having lived in Michigan all of my life, except a few years that I studied in Indiana and pastored there, I guess I thought I was a Michigan guy all the way down through. But the comment that I made was, I think I like it out here better. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking I'm just lying to you because I want you to bond or some silly thing like that. Oh, I absolutely mean it. It's great. This community is fantastic. And I had somebody when I alluded to that in the first service, it's like, boy, do you really know the community? Sure I do. I'm getting to know the community quite quickly. And I just want to point out, yes, the fields are white for the harvest. But I was told when I came out here that if I really ask people to do something for the Lord, that you would say yes. And you have not disappointed me. When we have had needs, you have answered, you have responded time and time again. And so I praise God for that. It's like, well, what more do you want? So having said that, well, I have seen people in God's work over the period of my life, because I was raised in a parsonage. I have seen people do so many different kinds of things for God, and God has allowed me to do a lot of different kinds of things. I have driven nails, I have raised walls, I have helped pour concrete, I have done things of a physical nature, I have... When I was just a boy, I was running off bulletins and newsletters and things along that line. I even had the task of shining my dad's shoes every Saturday night so they would look good before he got up and preached on Sunday morning. And so I need somebody who would shine. No. I have an observation. Here is one of the hardest things in the church to find in terms of people's service. And frankly, I've never understood it. People to work in the nursery. It's easier to find people who will crawl into a sewer than to find people who will work in a nursery. What's not to like? Any little baby, hold it in your arms. Okay, he may spit up on you. You may have to change a diaper. He may cry, he may be cranky, he may be colicky, you may have to put a bottle into that baby's mouth. But here's the thing we don't often consider. You are the first Christian influence, often, that a child will ever have. That's why we have now named the nursery ministry First Impressions. And so I would ask you to stop by and please make yourself available. You won't have to do it every week. It will be a tremendous help, a tremendous blessing for others if you would do that. And I would just like to share this thought with respect to that. While I'm there, quite often in my life, what I have heard is, well, you know, we just need the younger moms to do that. Yeah, they need to take their turn as well. But they need to hear as much of the Word of God as they possibly can. And if you are a veteran, if you are a person who is well-grounded in the Word of God, your willingness to take that place allows them to grow spiritually, perhaps more rapidly. And so it is a tremendous ministry, far beyond what you might think that it is. It's of great significance and importance. And this last thing, we had some people the last couple of days who were up here and put in some pretty long hours making displays and moving tables and things along that line. What a wonderful thing it would be if we would have about 6 or 10 men who would stay here after the ice cream social and help us move those tables back so they can be moved back quickly, because anytime we have an activity on Sunday, we understand that the TLC ministry is going to need that area pretty pristine by the time that the next school day there takes place. And so that would just be a great help. And so that would be a wonderful way of showing your appreciation, because if you don't carry them, I'm gonna. And so enough said. Well, it might get me in better shape. But mention has already been made of the fact that we are really starting a new series of messages right now. The Law of the Harvest. And the Law of the Harvest is a single thing. We're going to actually read about that here in a moment, but there are several laws really within that Law of the Harvest. We're going to be sharing them over the next few weeks. A few weeks ago, I was doing a Thursday morning Bible study at Springbrook Apartments. I do that now once a month, and I just felt that the Lord laid something on my heart, and that ended up making its way into this message, the things that I shared up there with some senior ladies and so on. And so I would just like you to bear with me as I begin to share this thought about the harvest of regret, or harvest of regret. First, let's read the Word of God, Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. It's that time of year that we actually experience harvest. We see it. We see it about us. We see crops that have come to maturity, and we see where people have gone ahead and they have already begun to do some reaping. You see shocks of corn. You see things baled up. You see things on tractors being taken away and put into barns and things of this nature. And so we realize that there is a sowing. Seed gets sown, not by hand in most cases today, but seed is sown. And we realize there is a period of time that goes by, and then those things grow up, and those things really then eventually come to a point of maturity, they come to a point of ripeness, and there is a great benefit that comes from that. A lot of people today, because of the fact that we're living in a more advanced society economically, a lot of people don't really stop to think about the process by which they get their food. I'm thinking that probably if in many cities, urban areas, if you ask, okay, so where do you go to get food? Where does food come from? Someone would say Tops or Aldi's, Walmart, Sam's Club, mom and pop shop. That's where food comes from. And we realize that's not where food comes from. Food comes up really out of the ground. God has a way of taking what we have done and then adding his blessing to it, and up it comes. But life is that way as well. And this is what God is really referring to when he talks about this law of the harvest through the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter to people in Galatia. Time has a way of judging our life choices, and sometimes it leaves us with a sense of bitter disappointment. How many of you have ever had a disappointment in your life? And typically what we do is we want to figure out why, we want to figure out who, we want to understand that whole process. And I just want you to know that there was a moment of great freedom that came in my life. And it might surprise you when that moment came and how it came about. The moment, really, that I was liberated to become the person that I believe God created me to be is the moment at which I realized that I was the problem. The moment which I realized that the things that were happening in my life were a result of my own choices. It's so much easier to go ahead and to point a finger outward. It's easier in some ways, but it's harder in others. It's easy in this sense. It's easy in the sense that you don't have to own responsibility for what has happened in your life. You don't have to own responsibility for the difficulties, for the problems, and so on. And yet the fact is that what I gained the moment I realized that I was the problem is I gained the ability of controlling the outcomes in my life. I gained the ability at that moment of being able to say, well, if I want something different, I can have it. Because the scripture that we read really has two sides to it. And sometimes people look at what I would call the negative side. Well, if you sow the bad seed, you're going to get a bad harvest. But the opposite of that is true as well. If you want to have a great harvest, all you have to do is sow the right seed. And that is a matter of choice. And because it's a matter of choice, what that really means is you can indeed have the kind of future that you want to have. I was at Tractor Supply a few weeks ago, and I was getting one of those cans that you get fix-a-flat because I had a leak in a tire, and I know I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have done it. I used the can of fix-a-flat rather than going, you know, to actually have the tire properly, professionally repaired, and so on. And so now it's out of balance, and there are a lot of bad things going on. And I sort of knew that might happen when I got the can, but I didn't want to waste any time. But here was the thing. I went up with the can to purchase it, and the gal who was there at the counter said, well, I suppose you're probably old enough that I don't need to check your ID. Check my ID for fix-a-flat? I said, don't tell me people are trying to make meth out of that while they inhale it. I got this metal picture. How many of you have ever seen that stuff? That comes out of the tube, you know, and I got this metal picture of somebody putting that tube up their nose. And that stuff coming out that hardens into something similar to concrete and so on. Well, I suppose that's probably not what they do, but I thought, well, that's absolutely amazing. What will they not do? What will they not use? I had already experienced what some of that was like when I had gone to the veterinary place right across the street, basically. I had gone in there because our dog is 15 years old, and she is showing it. In human terms, I guess that would be about 105. And if you've ever seen a person 105, you know they're not at their very best. And Sarah's not at her very best. And so we have to get a medication for her. I went in to get it, and the gal said, now, I'm going to have you sign some papers. What? Yeah, I'm going to have you sign some papers. Why? Sure, he kind of did that thing, you know. Why? And she said, I said, don't tell me people make meth out of that. Yep, they do. And I'm thinking, what won't they make meth out of? And so I just have a word for you, for all of you. You might be here and you might think, I have a pretty messed up life. And I'm meeting people out here who do. You might feel as if, well, you know what, I'm wrapped up, I have a problem with drugs, maybe I have a problem with stealing, those two things sometimes go together. You might feel like, boy, I have a gambling addiction, nobody knows about it, I go through money and nobody knows why, and that's kind of the elephant in the room is that that's going on in my life. You might have some kind of a bad habit, you might really have a messed up life. And the reason I say that is I want you to know, and I mean this, I want you to know, I am the best friend you will ever have outside of Jesus Christ. Because there are a lot of people who are going to look at your life and they're going to say, you know what? They're simply getting what they deserve. There won't be any mercy in it. There are a lot of people who are going to look at you and they're going to say, you know what? You are the cause of all society's ills. I hear that sometimes. And yet, I realize that I have the capability within myself of really messing things up. I began to do so in my life. God was good to me. God brought me to a place again where I was able to realize and recognize that I was the problem. I didn't want to believe that. I wanted to believe that my home was somehow not right. I was blessed. I grew up in a great home. You can grow up in a great home and you can convince yourself that they're the problem. You can grow up in a great school and you can convince yourself that they're the problem. Well, the teachers weren't fair. The principal didn't see things my way. You know, the coach of the football team and so on didn't recognize my skills. You can go through life and you can do that for a long, long time and you will never, ever get over it. You'll never get anything different in your life. And so God is pulling us toward the truth, and I'd like to look at that in the next few moments. Because here is what the law of the harvest will do. The law of the harvest places responsibility where it belongs. Yes, you are responsible for what is happening in your life. I'm doing you a favor in saying that. You are responsible for what is going on in your life. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, you don't know my background. You don't know the things that I came out of. Okay, you're right. I don't. But I want to say that. That was then, this is now. You have a basic decision to make about how you're going to lead your life moving forward. You might be actually suffering the consequence of someone else's bad seed. But now you have it within your control to change the outcomes in your life. All you have to do is change the inputs. God said that. He said that whatever we sow, that we are going to reap. And so while that's a negative thing in terms of if you sow the wrong things, you're going to reap terrible things, it also is a promise that you can absolutely count upon. That when you begin to do the right things, and when you do them in the right spirit, and when God allows you the grace of being able to begin to change things in your life, great things can happen in your life. There are a lot of people I've met out here who have had that experience. A lot of you, frankly, had some pretty messed up lives, and yet you came to Jesus Christ. And when you came to Jesus Christ, your lives changed. If you're here and you think, well, there is no hope, you just haven't talked to enough of the folk yet. How many of you know that God can change your life because he changed yours? Amen. Go ahead. Keep those hands up there for a while. Now, if you're here and you doubt that, you look around, any one of these people can share with you the truth that their life changed through the power of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Yours can too. Thank you. Now, the law of the harvest makes it possible to predict the future. Because what you are sowing today is what you are going to reap tomorrow. That's one of the messages in this series. It's called the Law of Sameness and so on. You will sow not what you will reap, not what you want, but what you sow. And so here is this ability that I now have to predict what it is that's going to happen in my life. And you might say, well, Pastor, you don't know what's going to happen in your life. You might not even live the rest of the day. I know that. But I'm never going to die. Somebody came to me, by the way, and I made that statement recently, and they said, you know what, that was a liberating thing for me. I'm never going to die. I'm simply going to change locations. I'm not going to die. My spirit is immortal. I know where it is I'm going because I know who it is that's taking me there. I know Jesus Christ. I have the power of the Holy Spirit in my life because of the mercy of God. And so I realize that if you were to go ahead and take me out into eternity today, you'd be doing me a favor. That's where Paul got to, by the way, the Apostle Paul, when he said to live is Christ and to die is gain. Here he was being persecuted for his faith. We will probably say a bit about that in two or three more weeks. He's being persecuted for his faith, and this is what he says to the people who believe they have the power of life and death over him. He says, I can see him, you know, in my mind's eye. What he's thinking is, man, I'm all beaten up. My body's worn out. It's tired. I've been doing all of these things. People have whipped me. You know, they've left scars on my back. They have stoned me and left me for dead. And you think that you're going to be disappointing me somehow and doing a terrible thing to me if you actually put me out of my suffering and allow me to go home and be with Jesus? Just a thought. I was talking with a man a number of years ago. He'd had secret sin in his life for many, many years. It had come to light, had been revealed. He'd been a major leader in the church, and there had been something he'd been hiding for a long time. And then he was on his, he repented. He truly did. He repented, and to the best of his ability, he made things right. He was on his deathbed. He asked everyone else to leave, and he wanted to speak with me. And he said, well, Pastor, he said, I'm just afraid that what's happening is that God is punishing me for what I did. And I asked him, I said, well, I said, let's look at this. I said, do you know that your sins are forgiven? Yes, they are. I said, you have placed your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, I have. You've repented to the best of your ability and made things right to the best of your ability. Yes, I have. I said, do you know that heaven is going to be your home when you breathe your last breath? Yes, I do. I said, so let me get this straight. God's going to punish you by taking you to heaven. Well, it looks kind of silly when you put it that way. I said, it is silly. It is silly. What a wonderful thing awaits those of us who put our faith in Jesus Christ. The law of the harvest encourages sound stewardship. I have to live with certain things down the road, and so I'd better be careful what I do. I'd better be careful what I do with my money, with my body, with my mind. I did share with a gal in one of those stores, I said, I never actually did any of these kind of drugs and so forth, I said, because I know they kill your brain cells. I figured I needed every last one of them. I didn't have anything extra, and so thank you, Lord. Now, how you feel about the law of the harvest doesn't change it. It truly doesn't. It doesn't matter whether you like it or not. It doesn't matter whether you, quote, accept it or not. You might walk out of here today and say, you know what, I don't think I like that idea that I'm going to reap what I sow, and so I'm going to reject it. Go ahead and reject it, but it will still be true. You might say, well, I don't like the law of gravity. I'd like to be able to float over the top of life, not just mentally, but in other ways as well. And you might say, because of that, I'm going to defy the law of gravity. You can try to defy it, and yet you will find that gravity always wins because it's an immutable law. It's an unchangeable law. And the law of the harvest is immutable. It is truly not changeable. Sometimes we actually need to take a reality check. And so I'm just asking us to clear all of the cobwebs out of our minds. Might have a cobweb of rationalization. You might say, well, I can't help it. Yes, you can. You might say, well, you know what? You might be in denial. And you might think, well, it won't happen to me. I'll dodge the consequence. I'll figure something out. You might say, well, you know what, and engage in wishful thinking. You might say things ought to be different, but they're not. And you might actually have a cobweb of unbelief where you would say, prove it to me. The problem being that if you sow the wrong seed all of your life, by the time you figure out that you're wrong, life is going to be wasted, and your opportunity also of really amending that relationship with God might be gone as well. Every person now who has ever lived, with the exception of Jesus Christ, has had occasion to regret choices made, words spoken, and actions taken. God's word says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and so there are no exceptions. And so I know this is true in your life just as it's true in mine. And so that is why we refer here to a harvest of regret, because there may come a time in your life, and it may have already come, when you find that the things that you have sown have just led you to a place where you feel regret, perhaps very deep regret, for things that you have done. And regret can be a terrible thing. I want to talk to you just for a moment about regret. It can be a powerful and persistent emotion that's capable of doing some bad things. It can replace love with loneliness. It can replace joy with grief. And it can replace peace with emotional torment. You may find yourself tossing and turning in your bed at night, unable to sleep, your mind going back to choices made, and your heart being full of regret for the choices that you made. It's a persistent emotion. It's capable of robbing your spirit of hope. Now, the reason I say that I believe I might be the best friend outside of Jesus Christ you'll ever meet is because you might have come to a place where you don't even understand why you're doing destructive things in your life. And I would just suggest what I do know about many of you is you have lost your hope. You don't see a better way. You don't believe that life can get better. People believe that life can get better invest in their lives. People who don't believe that life can get better, no matter what they do, stop investing in their lives and simply try to kill the pain. And that might be where you're at right now, but God has something different for you. And regret can wreck your future. Because when you're full of regret, what you do is you chain your past around yourself and you take it with you everywhere you go. Regret, and you might be surprised to hear a pastor say this, regret is wasteful of our time and it's worthless in improving our lives. Pastor, how can you say such a thing? Because God's will for our lives isn't that we ignore our regrets, but that we transform them into repentance. It isn't the regret that God wishes for us. It isn't that sense of longing for the bygone day. It is to actually change what it is that we are doing. Simply put, it's to do things a different way. I heard that a definition of insanity was to continue to do what you've always done and expect a different result. They have an expression today, you know, I think it comes out of the, probably out of gambling, maybe out of playing poker, about doubling down, doubling down, doubling down. You just keep increasing the bet and you keep putting it on and you're losing and you're losing and you're losing and you just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. At some point, it's a good idea if that is happening in your life in one way or another to begin to play a different game. At some point, it's time to say, you know what? What has already walked out the door has walked out the door, and it's time for me to put a tourniquet on it, quoting a movie now, to put a tourniquet on it, because while you're feeling a lot of regret, something else is going out the back door. And so God wishes to speak to you today, and he wishes to call you to repentance. And the thing is, it's never too late to start sowing different seed in our lives. The person who has sown seeds of deceit can begin now to sow seeds of truth. The person who has sown seeds of arrogance can begin now to sow seeds of humility. The person who has sown seeds of doubt can choose to begin sowing seeds of faith and of trust. You can have a different outcome. You can have a different harvest. You might ask, well, won't I still have to harvest some of the old? Well, here's the thing. Probably yes, but God is a merciful God. And the one thing that can change the law of the harvest in your life is to put your faith in God, your trust in Jesus Christ. And what you will find is that while you may have some consequence for decisions you have made in your life, God can mitigate the consequences for you because he loves you and he can show mercy and compassion upon you in your life. God is able to do all things. And so I just want you to close with this thought, that Satan's lie to the young is that it's too early to change. And his lie to the elderly is that it is too late. And so some of you are tempted to think, well, it's too late. I've already messed things up. No, it's not too late. You're here. It's not too late. You have a choice. There are two seed bags in front of you. All you have to do is choose to put the one down and to pick the other up. To put down the one of the bad seed, the bad choices, the bad decisions, put that down, pick up the seed bag that God would give to you of the right thoughts and the right words and the right actions, and you still have time in your life to see a harvest reaped. And if you're living the last day of your life, And you go ahead and you begin to sow different seed through the remainder of this day. And then you close your eyes tonight and you don't wake up in bed, but you wake up somewhere. The somewhere will be heaven if you truly put your faith in Jesus Christ. And that's a different harvest than what you may have sown. And it's different harvest than what you deserve. But God, praise God, has not given me in my life what I deserve. He's given me out of his grace. And I praise him for it. So I'd like you to stand with me. We're going to have a little bit of music as we come to a close today. And I just want to invite you, if you're at that place in your life where you're feeling like, you know what, I've gone in the wrong direction. I've gone in the wrong direction for a very long time. Understand that many of us have as well, and that God has grace for you, and he has mercy for you, and you can choose today what harvest you're going to have, and it can be so much better than perhaps the harvest you expect. So if God speaks to you, I'd like you to either pray where you are, remain in here after we close so I can have prayer with you, or come forward and we'll have prayer with you here at the front of the church. God is able to forgive your sin. He is able to change your life. He is able to change your future, and it can begin now. We're going to pray, and I'm going to dismiss you, and we have many things that remain yet before you leave today. But I'm going to pray that God will change the direction of your life if it needs to be changed, and that if it does not, and you are sowing the right seed, that God will inspire you, and you will increase even the sowing that you already have, because if you sow greatly, you will reap greatly. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would continue to speak to our hearts, that you would show us where it is that we can sow seed in our lives. I pray for the one who is sowing the wrong seed, that you would give them the courage to take control and to take command of their life by calling upon you, because you have said that those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I pray that if there's someone here who's relying on some government agency to keep them afloat, that you would show them that you have far more power than any human agency. You are far more loving and far more caring than any human agency. I pray, Lord, that you will show that there is a different way, and there is a way out, and there is a way in. And we just ask that you will have your way in all of our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen.